Want to get the edge in your Premier League betting predictions? Pinnacle delve deeper into the data behind all of the Premier League matches every single game week. We combine Pinnacle's sharp betting markets with the game's latest analytical metrics to help you find value in the odds. This is EPL Insights. Welcome to Game Week 11 here from EPL Insights, presented by Pinnacle. Gareth Wheeler, Jake Osgathorpe with you as we dig in to the Premier League for another week of action. As a Manchester United fan, it has been an absolute slog here to start the season. Not a whole lot of fun at all, but this is why sports betting is just so good, because while my team continues to lose, I continue to make profit. Another profitable week in Game Week 10. Is one of those things that needed a good bounce back. I got one, Jake, and we're moving in the right direction, despite my Reds continuing to disappoint week in, week out.
Yeah, they are moving in the wrong direction and very quickly as well. I'm glad about that, to be fair, because my week was set up to be disastrous from a profit and loss perspective. And obviously, the last game of the weekend, I had Man City win to nil, which was actually the biggest price we've ever had put up on this show. 3.23, it was the biggest price it's ever clicked, and that bailed me out big time from what would have been a really poor weekend. So I'm happy that United continue to be rubbish, and yeah, read that game right, which yeah, can't say for the rest of the week.
Other than a couple of times, you're like, Hoyland heavy touch, go down, son, go down. There was chances to that, and I was on the over 2.5 in both teams to score in that game. Overall, last week, 5 wins for me. They were all on the plus money side of things, 4 losses. The only one that hurt was finally, Brighton has been absolute cash in terms of playing to the overs, a 1-1 draw with Fulham. So other than that disappointment last week, Jake, what stood out for you from the Game Week 10 board?
Just the relentlessness of what I think will start to look like a top three. Arsenal, City and Liverpool, they just won with just ease, didn't they, in those 3 matches. I know Arsenal playing Sheffield United, you expect them to win that, but they absolutely wiped the floor with them. And Liverpool did the same to Nottingham Forest, despite the difficult circumstances off the pitch before kickoff. City just, that was a statement win. And I think the line on Pinnacle about the title, I think City got shorter after that win than they were to start the season, I think. So, yeah, that was a bit of a statement where people sat up, took notice and thought, right, this is the time to get on board with Pep's team.
I still notice you are forgetting one team.
The team at the top?
The table right now. Arsenal, Liverpool, City. Well, what about Spurs? Another win. It was Friday night. It came with relative ease as well. It started my week on the wrong foot. I think we were both playing to the unders in that game. And IU scores a goal. And so I was, come on, man. It was a useless, meaningless goal. But Spurs, another win. So you're continuing to overlook Spurs. How convenient, Jake.
I said it last week. I just think that the pace that they're going, I don't think they'll be able to sustain it. I think they're a couple of injuries away from a serious, not breakdown, but a drop off in form. And yeah, they're going to have some tough fixtures coming up soon. Most of their tougher games, you have to say, have come at home so far this season. You know, they played Man United at home, they played Liverpool at home. The only real tough away trip is Arsenal, which, yeah, we've talked about that at length, where that could have really gone. Arsenal could have run away with it when they went 2-1 up, but for some reason, just lapses of concentration. So, yeah, there's a lot more tougher tests to come, even in the next 3 matches. Just look up, you've got Chelsea at home, and again, another home game. Then they've got Wolves away, who are improving, and then they've got Villa at home, another home game against a good team, Man City away. So it could be a case that Spurs are top at Christmas, everyone's going a bit mental, and the fixture list obviously flips on its head after that, where they've got all these teams that they played at home, they've got all to play away. And that's where you maybe get dragged in. But yeah, I'm still not including it. I'm still not a believer in the fact that Spurs are going to be contending for the title.
The futures markets available on Pinnacle, 25 years of Pinnacle, the best numbers, the best margins in market. Pinnacle, make sure that you go there and check out the futures betting options. Within that usually is the top scorers option. It's not available as we record this podcast, but when we're looking at the goal scorers in the Premier League thus far, Erling Haaland leading the way, Son has been on absolute fire. Callum Wilson, there's some interesting players lurking in behind. I'm not sure if any of them can catch Erling Haaland, but we are powered by Understat. That's where we get all of our data and provide it to you and use it on this podcast. What do you make of the goal scores in comparison to the expected goals? Who may be overachieving? Who may be underachieving? What stands out for you?
Yeah, I mean, the main thing to point out first off is that Erling Haaland scored 11 goals in 10 games, and that's around exactly what he was expected to score. So he's finishing it at a level we would expect. And ultimately, that is frightening for everyone else in the league, because generally the top strikers, your Lewandowskis of the world, your Harry Kanes of the world — Harry Kane's probably a little bit of an exception, but your general fox in the box, which Haaland is — they generally perform in line with expectation. They don't overperform because they don't really take too many shots from distance or anything like that. They're usually, you know, in that width of the goal, headers from close proximity, etc. So yeah, the concerning thing is that he has been on the end of that much XG already this season. And if that continues, he's averaging 1.1 XG per 90. A player of Haaland's caliber and the fact that I've said he's going to hit expectation, he will score an average of one a game if he gets those chances, which means that he's going to run away with the Golden Boot yet again. Yeah, the interesting players in behind, obviously Salah, who has amazing consistency when it comes to scoring goals in the Premier League. He's another one like Haaland, where he doesn't overperform massively when it comes to finishing. He just gets in the end of really good chances very often. And the opposite to that is Heung-Min Son, who, if anyone goes onto the Understat website, will see that he scored 8 goals from chances equating to 4.6 expected goals. And, you know, people will look at that and go, well, you know, he's running hot, it's unsustainable, he's going to have a cold period. But Heung-Min Son is arguably the best finisher in the entirety of Europe because he breaks the XG models. Basically, his accuracy with both feet is what XG can't keep up with. Because when you're talking about building XG models and the parameters that you include strong foot, weak foot. Son doesn't have either. So you're putting down, you know, he's predominantly right foot, so that generally goes down as a strong foot when you're marking that on the as a shot. When he takes his shots with the left foot, they're as accurate, as powerful, and that's where he gets his edge. And, you know, he's been doing it for years. If it was a flash in the pan one season, then you could point to it and say, right, he's going to drop off. But he's been doing it consistently for, well, since 2014, since he is when Understat got the data from. He scored 122 goals since 2014 from an XG of 89. So he's overperformed by 33 goals.
Wow.
And that level of overperformance would usually be a massive red flag, but the consistency with which he's doing it and the fact that we know that you look at post-shot XG and where he's placing the ball and stuff like that and the power he's hitting the ball with, that's where he gets his edge, and why you have to look a little bit further for that added context than just the raw XG stats.
Very, very interesting. Still, Haaland, the chance generation, over 4 expected goals more than anyone else. I mean, and playing on arguably the top team in the Premier League as well, puts him in a good position to go on and win the Golden Boot. Again, maybe a Ballon d'Or coming his way, depending on how things go. Let's move things forward. As per usual, our feature 5, we'll dig a little bit deeper into 5 pre-selected matches this game week. Then we'll go rapid fire for the rest, and we'll share our best bets along the way. And let's kick off with the early game on Saturday. It's 14th place Fulham and 8th place Manchester United. Fulham coming off a 1-1 draw at Brighton. They kept Brighton to just 1.32 XG in that game, which is an accomplishment in its own right. Polina was outstanding yet again. He scored the equalizer, taking points away from Brighton in a looked to be a preferable spot. No clean sheets for Fulham, however, in 5, and they played to the under 2.5 in 5 of 7. They, like a lot of other teams, play in the Carabao Cup on Wednesday. They play at Ipswich Town. Diop still really the only significant player. Traore also out. Tete also out. But Diop is really the big miss for Fulham. As for Manchester United, where do I begin? A 3-0 loss against Manchester City. Once again, the press, the reaction is the sky is falling. My question is, who actually thought they'd go out and win that game? And who actually thought they'd be able to keep it close? I don't think Jake or I were in that category. A controversial penalty in the first half really set things off in the wrong direction. Erling Haaland with another brace. Onana made some great saves. In City, a whopping 4.55 expected goals in the game against United. Now Manchester United in all competitions have lost half of their games this season. They played to over 2.5 and 4 of 5. They play Newcastle Wednesday in the Carabao Cup, which complicates things even more. The usual suspects, albeit, you know, mostly defenders, are all still injured. Kobbie Mainoo will be back this weekend. Casemiro likely. Wan-Bissaka back in training. We will see. Head-to-head, a late Garnacho winner right before the World Cup last season gave United a 2-1 win at Craven Cottage. It was also a 2-1 win at Old Trafford, as well as a 3-1 win with a couple of sending offs in the FA Cup as well. United have won 3 in a row, no losses to Fulham in 17, no clean sheets in 5, however. Fulham, obviously, no clean sheets in 17, and they played these two teams to the over 2.5 and 8 of 9, both teams to score in 5 of 5. United, for me, it's not just because I support them, but they're the trickiest team to prognosticate right now when you're looking at the markets, because the talent in the side, Jake, it's undeniable. And you're waiting for if and when things will click. But so far, it's been abject for the majority, if not the entirety of the season thus far. So when you look at a market, I know you haven't favored or look kindly upon Fulham this campaign, but what do you make of this game, and how do you take a look at the markets and come up with a play?
Yeah, you've nailed it there by just saying that Man United have been a bit of an enigma really this season. You just never known what you're going to get from them. And that's where I had massive difficulty with this game, because if you look at Fulham's 4 home matches, they played Sheffield United, Luton, Brentford and Chelsea. So they played 2 teams that you'd expect to be probably the bottom 2. And 2 teams you'd expect to be a top half team. They've lost to the 2 top half teams and they've beaten the 2 relegation threatened teams. Where do United fit in that category? I'm not saying they're going to get relegated. They're not that bad. But, you know, do they sit middle of the pile? Like, I personally would rate Brentford marginally higher than United at this stage of the season.
I would. I'd say I'd probably put them in a very similar category as I'd put Chelsea in, to be honest with you. Different teams, different strengths, different weaknesses, but probably that them in terms of relative strength. I don't know if you agree with that.
Yeah, I think so. I probably would give Chelsea a marginal edge because I think they've got a bit of a better squad to pick from in terms of players. But yeah, they're in and around that. And as I said, I think Brentford are probably a better team than United at this stage. I know United beat them with 2 McTominay goals very late, but you know that was smash and grab, if anything. So yeah, it's just a case of where do I see them fitting in? I think Fulham will be a team that do beat the lesser sides when they play at home, but will get beaten quite comfortably against the better teams. I don't think United are one of the better teams. But again, I don't have that trust in Fulham to take them with a handicap. So instead, I was just looking at the goal line and I thought it actually has moved. The bet was going to be under 2.5 goals, but it's actually moved to give us an extra quarter of a goal. So the market's seen goals, I'm seeing the opposite. And I'm quite happy to take that stance. It's -118 currently. It's going to be a full unit play for me. And yeah, it's based around a lot of different issues, mainly the fact that we've got 2 really poor attacking teams. Fulham, only Burnley and Sheffield United have generated fewer expected goals for per game than Fulham this season, 1.11. And if, you know, if there's anything to kind of encapsulate their attacking issues, it's the fact that they're leading goal scorer this season is João Paulinho, who's got 2 goals, tied with Bobby De Cordova-Reed. Everyone else has got 1. They don't have that focal point. They don't have that finisher since Mitrovic left. And on the flip side, Manchester United are just like they are just lacking so much confidence, so much creativity. They're probably lacking that stable defense and midfield that can allow those front players to flourish. And it means that they've just struggled. You know, last 7 games, they've generated just 1 expected goal for per game. And yeah, the only kind of small bit of hope for United is that they've looked okay defensively in the six matches that they've played against teams that aren't in the current top 7. So Fulham obviously will fit that bill. It's just a case of, I don't know, I see it being a grind. I could see this being a similar performance to what we saw Man United do at Burnley, where they just went there, kind of just edged out a very ugly 1-0. Yep. And yeah, as you mentioned at the top of the show, Fulham, their defensive effort against Brighton is, that deserves some plaudits. To limit that attacking team to less than 1.5 XG is very impressive. And you know, let's not forget they limited Spurs as well to just 1.6 XG, another high flying attack. So they have got that in the locker now, which they didn't last season. They look a little bit more solid at the back. So unders for me.
And Polina's key to all of that. I like that bet. It's not the bet I'm going to make. I think that some of the problems that United have had are exacerbated by the poor form of the two best players. Bruno Fernandes and Marcus Rashford have been a million miles off the mark. They have to come good at some point. We're recording this before their Carabao Cup game against Newcastle on Wednesday. I doubt either one of them will start, to be honest with you. Garnacho deserves a start. There might be some changes. And maybe that will do them some good coming back on the weekend. I just look at these two sides, and United are the better players. They're the better team on paper. They just need to put it into practice. And if you're going to give me a plus number for United to go out and win this game against a team they typically win games against, I know it's not always pretty, but Ten Hag's football has been good against the teams below them. They're eighth place, so you know it's just half the league. Fulham's one of those teams that's below them. So give me United to win this one outright at plus 108. I mean, they have to win this game, don't they, Jake? All eyes, all the pressure's on United going to this game. They have to win this.
It does feel like that. Even at this early stage of the season, it does feel like a bit of a must-win game just because they are going to get cut adrift of the rest of the team. And, you know, at the start of the season, obviously their ambition was probably contend for the title. Now it is simply qualify for the Champions League because you're seeing, you know, Spurs have improved vastly. Arsenal, City, Liverpool still there. Villa look like head and shoulders clear of Man United at the moment in time. And Brighton, we know what they're capable of on the day. So they're in a real scrap just to finish in the Champions League places once again, which no one would have thought given the summer they had, the optimism heading into the season. But yeah, it's just, it is one of those. It just seems to be a revolving door, doesn't it? It's finish high in the league, or new manager, finish high in the league. Everyone thinks it's going to go well. Next following season, takes a little bit of a nosedive, sack the manager, get a new manager. It just seems to be happening again and again. Mourinho, Solskjaer, and now Ten Hag. So yeah.
Well, we'll dig into it for next week, but this seriously reminds me of Liverpool taking a step back after playing so many games the season before. I feel like a similar story's playing out this time. It is worthwhile to do a little bit more of a deep dive into. Let's move this forward to another Saturday fixture. It's 15th place Everton taking on 7th place Brighton. Really like the looks of this fixture on paper. Everton coming off a 1-0 victory. Hard fought, well played victory over West Ham. Calvert-Lewin with a good goal in that game. Everton have actually won 4 of the last 6 in all competition. Both teams to score have played in 5 of 6. However, they're 1-0-4 at home, but their expected goals tells a completely different story. 11.59 to just 6.28 in expected goals against. But they've only scored 4 goals in those 5 games at home, but they've only conceded 5 over the course of those games as well. Everton, a very curious team to start the season. They do play in the Carabao Cup against Burnley on Wednesday, and Ashley Young returns from suspension for this one. Brighton, an unusual, disappointed me, but that's okay. Once in a while, it happens. A 1-1 draw against Fulham, their first under game of this Premier League season. And now they haven't won a game in their last 4 in the Premier League either. They still have scored in every Premier League game thus far this season. They're a top 5 team in terms of expected goals. They're also 5th worst in terms of goals conceded. 2-0-2 away from home with 9 goals scored and 10 conceded. No midweek fixture is something that you need to keep in mind. Lamptey close to returning and may do so this weekend. Welbeck and March are out long-term. Head-to-head, Brighton won 4-1 at Goodison Park. But remember, at the end of last season, Everton smashed Brighton 5-1 at the Amex. Everton, no clean sheets in 3 against Brighton. And Brighton haven't had a clean sheet in their last 4 against Everton. Really compelling game here. I think there's a number of different ways that you can take this. So which way will you take it, Jake?
I will be taking it sat down, not having a bet on this one.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, Brighton are just, they're a confusing me at the moment. They're a little bit like Manchester United, just really struggling to peg where they are at the moment. You know, 2 weeks now that they've let me down. Obviously, last week was on the handicap. I needed them to at least win that game against Fulham, and they didn't really show up from an attacking perspective. But the week before was the goals bet against Manchester City, which was the first time they'd not gone over 3.5 goals. I do just wonder if it sounds kind of counterintuitive because De Zerbi is generally a manager that sticks to his principles, but I do just wonder if he's just taken a look at that defence and thought, we are a bit too loose here. We can't like compete with these bigger teams across a full season with a defence that's conceding nearly 2 expected goals against per game. So I do wonder if he's just tightened them up a little bit. And obviously you've got the schedule, the fact they're playing midweek Europa League, the fact that he's tinkered with his team more than any manager so far this season from a game-to-game basis. Just find it really difficult to put my finger on what they're going to be on a week-to-week basis. And it's probably the opposite with Everton. I've got more confidence in what I'm going to get from Everton. They're improving. They look a much better team. Now they've got a focal point. I think it kind of turned when Beto came in, and now obviously Calvert-Lewin is back to fitness. So I do think that they could potentially cause what would be an upset looking at these odds. But yeah, I have too many question marks around Brighton. I don't know enough of what I'm going to see from them this weekend. So I'm going to leave this one alone. Do you have a play in this?
I'm going to make 2 bets on this game. Two full unit plays.
Wow.
I think one of the reasons for that unpredictability in the rotation, the Brighton squad, is that they've been playing European football. It's completely something new for this group and team. No midweek fixture, while Everton does have a midweek game where there's an opportunity to advance deep in a competition. I think Sean Dyche will take it seriously against Burnley on Wednesday. So give me Brighton to win this outright at a good number at +120. The other play that I'm making, I'm betting over 3 at -110. The XG numbers, like, this isn't Sean Dyche defensive or typical Everton defensive football. Like 11.59 XG in 5 home games. That's a big number for this side. And they've been a really attack-minded team. They still had chances against West Ham United last weekend. Once they took the 1-goal lead, they kind of sat back and stayed well-organized. Brathwaite's been great. Tarkowski's been great. But I still think this is a team that can really threaten this Brighton side going forward, especially playing at home at Goodison Park. And Brighton's underlying numbers, they tell the story about how attack-minded they are. And again, just the one under this season as a team, I think this is a good place for them to bounce back with a week off between. So Brighton at +120 and over 3 at -110. I'm not sure if you have any reaction or anything to add.
No, not particularly. I do agree with you that the midweek fixture is another kind of caveat or wrinkle to consider when looking at this game, because it will have a massive effect. You know, Everton have got a very winnable home game in that Carabao Cup.
Yeah,
like you said, to get to the quarterfinals, and yeah, it's just a case of how strong he goes there, and they don't really have the deepest of squads either. So yeah, I do just wonder about the style of play clash in this one. As we saw at the back end of last season at the Amex, where Everton just sat back and counterattacked, just absolutely shredded Brighton. But yeah, if I was going to make a play, it would be looking at goals, a pro goals bet. That would be the way I'd be looking. But yeah.
All right.
Best of luck.
4-1, 5-1 last year. I'm all in on Brighton. They're my sweetheart side. They were last season, and I see no reason to change my ways, which have been very profitable thus far. Really good game to finish off the fixture list on Saturday. It's 6th place Newcastle, 2nd place Arsenal. Newcastle, a 2-2 draw at Wolves, a 2.32 XG in that game, a Callum Wilson brace. They thought they had the points. They did not. They had to settle for 1 in that game. Still no losses in 6 in the Premier League. Over 2.5 in 4 of 5 for Newcastle. They've been the first to score in 6 of 8. 4 clean sheets in their last 6, and all the other games ended 2-2. I'll remind you of that numbers. They have 4 clean sheets in their last 6 games, and the other 2 games finished 2-2. They play Manchester United on Wednesday in the Carabao Cup. Still the best XG through 10, being a full expected goal better than Liverpool at this point. They have the joint most goals in the Premier League with Aston Villa at 26, but they also have the third best expected goals against. Newcastle also excellent at home, 4-0-1 with 13 goals scored, 3 against, and the second best home expected goals. A longer list, however, of players who are unavailable. Tonali through suspension. Injuries have reared their ugly heads. Barnes, Murphy, Anderson, Botman, Isak, one of the most recent casualties. For Arsenal, it was a walk in the park, a 5-0 victory over Sheffield United. Eddie Nketiah with the hat trick in that game. No shots on target given up by Arsenal in that one. No losses in 4 for Arsenal. They've gone over 2.5 in 5 of 6. They've been the first to score in 8 of 9. And what did I tell you about Newcastle? Well, Arsenal have 4 clean sheets in their last 6 games, and the other 2 games ended in a 2-2 final, just like Newcastle. I love when the numbers provide that kind of result or outcome. 8 goals conceded is the second fewest in the Premier League, and they have the second best expected goals against. They have the best away expected goals, and this team has been exceptionally good in terms of goals conceded, just 2 away from home, and a 3.72 XGA in 4 away games. They do play West Ham. It's the Declan Rice derby on Wednesday in the Carabao Cup. Jesus remains out long term. Is it too soon to call it the Rice Derby? Rice, baby. We'll see. I don't know. I'll let Jake decide on that one. Head-to-head Arsenal 2-0 victory in the fixture last season, and a dire goalless draw was played at the Emirates, under 2.5 in 5 of 5. Which one of these sides is going to take a step forward this weekend? Big opportunity for both, both with midweek fixtures, 2 really solid squads. I'm curious to see which direction you're going to go on this one.
Yeah, it's one of those where I'm very sweet on Newcastle as a long-term prospect, but I think there's some juice in Arsenal's price to get a result. Obviously, we're getting the draw no bet is a backable price, and that's the bet I'm going to be taking for Arsenal at -123. Newcastle have stung me a few times now this season. and I think the prices that we're seeing about Arsenal probably don't really reflect their quality just yet. Because, you know, for example, if Manchester City were going to play Newcastle away from home, they won't be at +152 to win the game. And I think Arsenal at that level, same as Manchester City, I'd probably have them closer to maybe +120 to go up to Newcastle and win, just purely because of their away form, which is sensational. They've won 4 of their 6 away games so far this season in all competitions. They've won 15 of the last 23 away Premier League matches, including at St James's Park last season. They've already been to some tough places this season and made real statements. You know, Crystal Palace is a tough place to go and visit. Away at Everton's always a difficult game for Arsenal. They went there and managed to get the victory. I just think that they're very well built and set up now to be able to deal with these kind of tough tests. You mentioned there the long list of key players for Newcastle that are missing. It's basically the spine of the team, isn't it? Botman, Tonali and Isak. And I know I've said it quite a lot that Newcastle have got good squad depth, but you're talking about key players there. And I know Lascelles has been doing a good job at centre-half. He's not Botman. Wilson comes in and scores goals, but he doesn't give you what Isak does in an all-round play. And obviously they don't have a Tonali replacement. He's been brought in. He's been brilliant, hasn't he? And you know, probably just under the radar, but Jacob Murphy's out as well. He's been a really, really good squad player for them. It's been able to give something different down that right-hand side to Almiron. So, those are the reasons why I like Arsenal. I know I've mentioned it on previous pods about Newcastle's home record, which is also phenomenal. Their underlying process, which is also phenomenal. But they've lost 3 home games since the start of last season. 2 of them to Liverpool, 1 to Arsenal. So generally when the big teams turn up, they get the job done on Newcastle. Like you said, both teams playing away in midweek. Newcastle have to travel to Manchester, Arsenal around the corner at West Ham. And then if you do want to look ahead, which I know both teams won't, but Arsenal have got a home game against Sevilla in midweek, a group game in which they're very much in control of that group. Newcastle go to Dortmund, which is basically win or bust, I think, for them and their chances of maybe getting out of that group. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how Howe rotates his squad for these next 3 games, because massive game in the Carabao Cup as well. So yeah, I think all those definitely have me leaning towards Arsenal. I think Arsenal, their strength in depth is very good now. They've got injury, the players that they're back. Elmer Smith-Rowe has come back into the fold after a long injury. He adds a nice little dimension. Obviously, Vieira's fit again. So I'm taking a pro-Arsenal stance, which I think I've done quite a lot this season. I think I would
do. Is this going to be an Arsenal outright win, or are you playing them on the handicap?
I'm going to play them on the handicap because of the, what you mentioned before. That
do you want to go
both
the
teams,
Asian
the
handicap?
Last six.
This streams a minus 0.25 at plus 116. Is that what you're angling for?
I am taking plus naught. I'm taking the draw no bet.
Okay.
And for the reason you said before, both teams have won four of the last six. The other two have been draws. I could easily see this ending in a bit of a draw. And I'd like that security. And the price is still big. So, that's me. I'm taking Arsenal.
All right. For a lot of the same reasons as you said, I'm playing the under. I just think it's a game that it'll play out kind of like last season. I think that both teams will try to avoid a loss in this game based upon difficult. Like I know it's at West Ham. It's right around the corner for Arsenal. Not an easy game with the Declan Rice, like kind of the storyline hanging over top of it. Newcastle at Manchester United, a little bit of a depleted squad. I think Eddie Howe will be content to maybe sit back a little bit more and manage the game. The third best Newcastle, the third best expected goals against in the Premier League, only conceded 3 goals in 5 at home. I dealt with the Arsenal statistics away. They just conceded 2 goals away from home in 4 and don't give up many chances. And when Arteta wants to make sure that the team plays more within itself, they absolutely do that. And I think they're very capable. This number has actually moved in the right direction. Earlier this morning when I checked, I had it under 2.5 at minus 112. It's actually moved out to minus 110. So I'll nip and tuck here. And if it continues to move in that direction, you as the listener, the viewer out there, maybe wait and see. People love to bet on the over in these big fixtures, but I think that this one screams the under. So under. That's what we're going to roll with this one. Any final thoughts?
No, I definitely will be leaning towards it being a low scoring game, looking at Arsenal's recent away trips. So yeah, let's hope for like a 1-0 Arsenal. 1-0 to the Arsenal. That. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's very possible that could be the outcome in this one. On to Sunday, it's 16th place Nottingham Forest taking on 5th place Aston Villa, a team very much in the ascendancy. Nottingham Forest, a 3-0 loss at Anfield, but to be fair, who doesn't lose at Anfield? Just 27% possession in that game, 1 shot on target. No wins in 6 for Nottingham Forest, but 4 draws over that span. And the losses did come against Man City and Liverpool. So things aren't that bad for Nottingham Forest right now. They have played to the under 2.5 in 6 of their last 8. They do have, and this is the biggest difference between last season, they have the 4th lowest expected goals. They're just not creating chances. They have not lost at home, however. 1 win, 3 draws, and they have the 3rd best home expected goals against. Chris Wood joins those injured, but Danilo is closing in on return. For Aston Villa, a 3-1 win over Luton Town and a 3.08 XG, which played into my Aston Villa over 2.5 goal total last week. Well done, the Villa. 3 wins in a row, no losses in 6. 4, however, without a clean sheet for Aston Villa. Over 2.5 in 5 of 7. Both teams to score has played in 6 of 7, and they've been the first to score in 5 of 6. 19 goals in their last 6 games in all competitions. They are firing. Ollie Watkins, front and center in that. 26 goals in the Premier League, joint most with Newcastle. 4th best in terms of expected goals. Is this actually Aston Villa we're speaking of here? Because, wow, they've really turned the page this year. They are 2-1-2 away from home, just 6 goals scored and 10 against. They've been doing a lot of their damage at Villa Park with an away XG of 7.89 and the expected goals against away from home, 10.64, courtesy of our friends at Understat. Head-to-head, it was 1-1 in this fixture last season in a 2-0 win away for Villa. Villa haven't lost in their last 6. Nottingham Forest, no clean sheet against Aston Villa in 11. Both teams have scored. Has played in 7 of 9. So here we are. Aston Villa, their home form, kind of have a little bit of that Liverpool home swagger to them. But what about away from home? This is a difficult travel place where Nottingham Forest really stayed in the Premier League by coming away with results on their home field last season. Can they do it against Aston Villa, or is Villa's form right now just simply too good for Nottingham Forest to compete with?
The latter for me. I'm taking Villa. I think the price we're getting at the moment, -113, is a slice of value. You know, people look at the home league table, we'll see Forest are unbeaten across the four home matches. They played Sheffield United, Burnley, Luton and Brentford. So they played the three promoted teams, played Brentford, drew 1-1, and they were very fortunate to draw that game according to the underlying data, 0.8 XG to 1.8 in Brentford's favour. So they've had the easiest home schedule to open of any team in the league. And Villa away from home, you talk about their underlying data there, the fact that they've conceded so many chances, but 2.7 XG came against Liverpool, 4.3 XG came against Newcastle, and then the other away games, they barely conceded a chance. Burnley managed just 0.6, Chelsea at 1.2, Wolves at 1.5. So, yeah, I'm happy to ride with Villa. The other thing that I really like heading into this game is that they've had a free week. They got knocked out of the Carabao last time in the last round. So they should be very fresh for this. I think they are in that tier now of contending for the top four or top five or whatever is going to get you in the Champions League next season. They've had a fairly kindish schedule recently, you know, some very winnable games, especially at home, but they've made light work of it. They've generated 2.1 expected goals for per game. And I just think they're going to have not a field day, but I just think they're going to create too many chances for Forest on Sunday. And yeah, I'm making a 1.5 unit play on Villa to get the victory. That price has just moved out a little bit. We're at -112 now. So yeah, I like it. I think Villa are going to, they're going to show everybody. This is the kind of game where people will look at and say, it's a bit of a banana skin going to Forest. I think this is a game they show up and they'll be like, and you know what? I had a funny feeling. I could be wrong here, but I have a feeling that you're going to make this a head-to-head. I've already kind of half jotted it down in my Excel spreadsheet.
I am not making this a head-to-head. That Villa number was screaming out to me, bet me, Wheeler. Just bet me, because they've been so good. It could be a banana skin. That's why I'm staying away from that. I like the under in this one, under 2.75. I locked it at -104. It's moved out to -108. A little bit interesting for me because Nottingham Forest can't afford to just go in and play, you know, go blow for blow against this team because they really miss Brennan. They have some injuries in their attack right now. So I think that they need to play. Like, their model is playing the type of game that they played against Chelsea when they won at Stamford Bridge 1-0. But they're a better side at home. They're stubborn, and they've been difficult to break down this season. They have the fourth best expected goals against at home in the Premier League thus far this season. That's a good number for a team that's like a bottom half of the table team, and they haven't been beat at home as well. Like, look, if I was to make a play on the result, I would play that Aston Villa at -112, no problem. But I just like the under in this one, under 2.75 at -104. Villa doesn't play midweek, but neither does Forest. So let's see how it plays out. I kind of like the unders this week for a lot of different reasons, other than Brighton, of course. And this is one of them as well. So, yeah, full unit play for me.
Yeah, I said before, that Forest home record's a massive pinch of salt for me. If anything, it's a huge problem. The fact that they've played the three promoted teams plus Brentford and they've won only once. Yeah. They've not conceded chances, but like I said, you've played against the bottom, Sheffield United, Burnley, they prop up the table in terms of XG. Luton have done most of their damage at home when it comes to creating chances. I just think that home record of Forest is a little bit false at the moment. Yeah,
that's fair. But I go back to last season and they were still very good at home. So this will be their first real big test playing at home on the season. And we'll see how it plays out. I don't care if Villa wins. Yeah. Just make it 1-0, 2-0, and I'm a happy man. So all good for me. Let's move on. If Newcastle-Arsenal isn't the fixture of the weekend, this certainly is. It's Monday Night Football. It's top-of-the-table Spurs taking on 11th-place Chelsea. Spurs, another game, another win, 2-1 over Crystal Palace. Son scored a goal. He is now has 5 goals in his last 5 games. 76% possession in that game against Palace, but they're actually outshot in that game. But they did edge the XG in it, but it was still under 1. Spurs, 4 wins in a row, no losses in 7. Both teams to score in 6 of 8, over 2.5 in 5 of 7. They're 8-2-0. They're still 2 points better than City and Arsenal on the season. 4 wins from 4 at home and only 2 goals conceded. But their expected point total is just 8.04 at home. So they're punching above their weight. Bentancur returned as a very late substitute last time out against Palace. For Chelsea, a 2-0 home loss to Brentford. They did have 17 shots, but just 2 found the target. And they gave up a 2.48 expected goals to Brentford in that game. Chelsea had scored 2 or more in their previous 3 Premier League games. No clean sheets in 3 for Chelsea. They played to under 2.5 in 6 of 8. 13 goals on the season, but they do have an XG of 19.23, according to Understat. They've only given up 4 goals on 4.88 expected goals against away this season. Broja, Mudrik, Enzo all could very well be back by the weekend. They do host Blackburn in the Carabao Cup on Wednesday, but with the time in between, not playing again until Monday, ample time to rest, recover, and do what Mopo, whatever he wants, essentially. Head-to-head, Spurs, a 2-0 win in this fixture last season, finished 2-2 at the Bridge, under 2.5 in 4 of 5 in this matchup, and Chelsea being the first to score in 7 of 8. Is this where Spurs start their trend backwards? Because they've been going in one direction. They're living life under Big Ange. It's been all good. This might be a little bit of a tricky one, considering Chelsea are 11th place. But it still is Chelsea after all. If they get some of their players back for this game, they could mount a little bit of a challenge, a little bit of a threat to Spurs in this one. What do you make of this?
Yeah, they definitely have the tools to be able to cause a few problems for Spurs, but it's just the consistency with Chelsea. We've just not seen it. We've at least seen it with Spurs where, you know, they've maybe not been as good as they have been in certain games across all the fixtures, but they've at least found some form of consistency. And I think the fact that this is away from home for Chelsea is a massive boost, because as I mentioned last week, their home form and home record is just shocking this calendar year. They've won just 3 of 18 now. There was a stat during the rounds that Brentford have actually won more games at Stamford Bridge in the last 6 months than Chelsea, which I really enjoyed. So, I think that's definitely in their favour. But I'm taking a goals play. I'm specifically taking on goals. Under 2.75 is where the line is currently at. And we're getting even money for that, which I think is huge, huge bet. A huge price. It's bigger than I expected. And I think it's bulked up a little bit because people are looking at Spurs' attack and thinking, yeah, they're going to create loads of chances. But Chelsea's defence has been very good. It's been the one sort of consistent marker throughout the campaign. They've allowed just 1.25 expected goals against per game this season, which is actually the 4th best defensive record in the Premier League. And that game against Brentford last week was, up until the 88th minute, they conceded just 1.1 expected goals. They ended up conceding over 2, which is pretty much all down to 2 big chances Brentford created as Chelsea were chasing the game. So, again, pinch of salt around that XG figure there. And Spurs have actually started looking quite solid at the back. They had their issues at the start of the season. They were all over the place. But they've conceded just 1.1, 0.85, 0.75 and 0.56 expected goals against in the last 4. And they're coming up against a very blunt Chelsea attack. You know, they create decent enough chances, just don't finish them. And I don't think they'll get as many chances in this game as they have done in recent matches. So, yeah, I'm taking the unders, but I wouldn't be surprised if Chelsea did cause a bit of an upset.
That's why I agree it will be low scoring. And I actually really like that bet of yours. I didn't even consider it because I was looking on the result. And based on the handicap, Chelsea on the handicap at plus 0.25 at plus 103. If it's a draw, you win half your bet. I think Chelsea can win this outright. And I've been kind of looking for a spot at a decent number to bet against Spurs. Last week, I was on the total rather than the result. This is a full unit play on Chelsea. I think this one could very well end in a draw. If not, a Chelsea upset victory, put Enzo back into this team. Their midfield's very, very good for this Chelsea side. And I think it'll be a much more difficult task for Spurs this week playing in this game. I know sentiment is one thing when it comes to these two teams, but I think Chelsea have a real shot in this game on Monday Night Football. So Chelsea on the handicap, plus 0.25 at plus 103. And we'll see how it plays out. So anything else before we move on to rapid fire, Jake?
No, I agree with you. I definitely would be looking at maybe this being the week where it kind of all falls apart for Spurs and
we keep saying that,
yeah, true, we do. But last week was Crystal Palace, and we weren't very high on Crystal Palace's chances of doing that. So,
no.
As we've discussed, that the home results have been good, 1-4 out of 4, but they played Sheffield United, needed 2 very late goals to beat them. They were fairly comfortable against a poor Fulham team, and then they needed Liverpool to have 2 men sent off before they could start creating many chances in that game. And they could have been 2-0 down at halftime against Manchester United. So a lot of things have gone their way to start the season, and a lot of things have gone against Chelsea. So I wonder if this might be a game where balance is kind of restored for both, and they both get a little bit of the other.
Mopo's revenge, Pochettino back at. He's see. There's a lot of factors I like for Chelsea heading into this game. And like I said, Wednesday to Monday, no problem for a squad like this. Let's move on to rapid fire, starting off with Brentford and West Ham. That game's being played on Saturday. Do you have a play in this game?
I do, yeah. It's probably my favorite bet of the week. It is Brentford to win at plus 109, and I'm going to go 1.5 units on that. I'm really liking what I'm seeing from Brentford. I have done all season long, as we discussed last week before they played Chelsea. Underlying data has been really strong. Performances have been really strong. Just been a little bit unfortunate not to get results. And it's been the opposite for West Ham. They've kind of reverted to what you can only describe as last season's West Ham, which looked like they're going to be floundering and trying to avoid relegation because, they've just stalled. That's the best way to put it. The defence looks all over the place. They're conceding over 2 expected goals against per game this season. The creating issues are starting to pile up as well. Just 0.9 XG, 0.66 and 0.62 across the last 3 Premier League fixtures. And you do have to wonder if the schedule is starting to take a toll on West Ham. Another team that had a really long season, played a lot of football, went all the way to the Conference League final. They obviously have Europa League football trying to deal with. They've got Carabao Cup in midweek. Brentford don't have Carabao Cup in midweek, which is also a little bit of a why I'm leaning towards liking Brentford. I think the price more than anything is huge. And Brentford, since the start of last season, they've won 12 of their 25 home games. They've lost just 3 times, generated 1.9 expected goals for per game in that span. And they've beaten West Ham in all 4 Premier League meetings since their promotion. So for whatever reason, they have their number. And I think this is a really good spot for them to continue that upward trajectory.
There are so many reasons to bet Brentford in this game. Like you said it, West Ham haven't beat Brentford in 4. They haven't picked up a clean sheet in 5. West Ham plays midweek against Arsenal. Paqueta, Alvarez, both suspended for this game. But I feel like that is the common sense play. And sometimes I just don't follow common sense. I have a hard time acknowledging that Brentford is that much better than West Ham in any way, shape or form. I think this game is draw written all over it. I won't play the draw, but I'll play West Ham on the handicap of plus 0.25 at plus 108. So I think that this line will move even further into Brentford favor. If you're going to bet Brentford, do it now or as soon as you listen or watch this. And if you want to back West Ham, I think you might even be able to get a little bit more juice. I think Brentford's good. I'm not fully bought in. So give me
head
West
to
Ham.
Head.
Sure.
Head
let's call it a head-to-head. So,
you want to do it?
Yeah, yes. Let's do it. Let's do it. So
thanks for that extra head-to-head victory. I wasn't expecting that.
I've been burnt by West Ham United head-to-head before this season. Redemption time. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I'll give you West Ham.
Full unit play. There we go.
Yeah, I'll give you West Ham plus 0.5 for their dead, and I'll take Brentford to win.
He is being charitable even. Wow. I'll take it. What a guy. I'm going to go to the sports book, Osgathorpe and Company. It's wonderful.
You don't want to do that. You're 4-1 down.
I'll stick with Pinnacle. How about that? Man City and Bournemouth. My God, last time Bournemouth went to the Etihad, I think that City's still scoring goals. At least in their dream. What do you make of this one? Do you have a play?
No bet for me. This is the kind of calm after the storm for Bournemouth, isn't it? They had their big game last week against Burnley. They kind of got the result that they needed. Not expected to get anything from this. But yeah, you don't know if they're going to be competitive. City, Champions League game coming up. Too many question marks. I'm happy to go no bet.
This is my favorite bet of the week. And this number looks like a little bit of a mistake. I had to double, triple, quadruple check it. Both teams to score no and over 2.5 at +166. That's my play because I think City are going to win this one and win it big. Far too much quality in the City team. They've won 13 straight games over Bournemouth. They've gone over the 2.5 total in 5 of 5. And Bournemouth has their backup goalkeeper, Radu, playing. Beto is out long term. I think that Bournemouth won the game, and thankfully they did. I was on backing Bournemouth. It happened in controversial fashion. I didn't really care, to be honest with you. But City, big in this one, 3-4-5-0. Let's go. At +166, that's my favorite bet of the week. Taking that to the bank. Sheffield United and Wolves. I am so tempted to bet Sheffield United here. Because I'm like, if it's not now, then when? I can't bring myself to do it. So I'm on a no bet. Maybe by the time the weekend comes around, I'll change my tune. Do you have a play?
I have a play written down.
Sheffield United, but it's got No.
Even with my Sheffield Wednesday bias, I would happily back United if they were the right bet. This is not the right time, I don't think. Just not trustworthy enough, not good enough. Yeah, the bet I have down, highlighted in yellow as opposed to green, is under 2.5 goals at -101. The main reason I was thinking about backing this is because Pedro Neto is out. And he has been their main source of creativity. He's at 7 assists, which is 6 more than next best. And he's contributed to 33% of their total expected assists. So you're taking out basically a third of their chance generation. It's just a case of Wolves are generally playing quite an attack round of football under Gary O'Neill. Sheffield United, quite a lot of their games have gone overs. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with a no bet. I'm going to leave it as a no bet. Smart. I can see it being a 2-1 kind of game. I just have too many question marks.
You'd be watching the game through your fingers, to be honest. It's so hard to back Sheffield United right now. So, yeah, I'm staying away. In the next game, I am actually backing a team I'm very surprised I'm backing. It's Burnley and Crystal Palace.
You're back in Burnley, aren't you?
I am. Well, on the handicap. So it's a draw, no bet, 0 at +103. Again, there's no good reason to bet Burnley other than Olise and Eze are both back in training for Crystal Palace. Roy Hodgson even said after last week, like, we can't trust our young players. Like, the depth in this squad, they're bringing nothing to the table. He said something along those lines. And even if Olise and Eze are back available, I don't think that either one of them will start this game again. If not now, then when? For Burnley playing at home against this Palace side. So Burnley on the handicap could very well end in a draw. You get your money back, but I think they can kick on and come away with a full 3 points in this one. So Burnley, and I'll be plugging my nose, not watching between my fingers. I'll be just plugging my nose watching this game.
Okay, you're a very brave man. I've got a slightly different play, something that I wouldn't usually dip into, but
okay.
I'm going to be back in the halftime correct score of 0-0 at +163.
Like it.
It doesn't take a genius to look through the recent results and see that in 10 Premier League games this season, Crystal Palace have been 0-0 at halftime in 7 of them. So for whatever reason, they just don't create chances or score goals or concede goals. At halftime. It is the most winnable home game that they've got to date, Burnley, absolutely granted, but they've not shown enough for me to suggest that they can win. And Palace, to be fair to them, their underlying process has been very solid when they played against non-Big Six teams. They've generated 1.4 XG and 0.97 expected goals against in those matches against the rest of the Premier League this season. I could see this being a very, I was tempted by the under, but the line is at 2.25. So it's already really low. And I just thought, what's the next best thing is to kind of oppose goals by the half. No goals at halftime was around +110 and just a bit of extra juice. Throw the 0-0 correct score in there if you don't think there's going to be So, it's a bit of a rogue bet from me. I don't usually dip into these kind of markets, but I think it's got a bit of a chance. I'm going to go a full unit on that and see how we go.
Okay. I actually like the play. I was just seeing what else might be out there in terms of like exact totals. Total goals, 0 in this game, plus 764.
Yeah.
If you want to have a punt in this game, I just, not many goals between these two teams. So let's see on this one. Let's move things forward. Yeah. We're almost out of time. Sorry, go ahead.
Just to add quickly, yeah, the price has actually drifted. It's 169 now on Pinnacle, plus 169 for that bet. So I'm going to lock in at the slightly bigger price.
All right. And finally, Luton Town and Liverpool. Do you have a play in this game?
Yeah, it's not a play that I'm hugely in love with, but I think it's probably the best of a bad bunch in this game. Liverpool to win and both teams to score at plus 157. Luton have scored in 7 of the 10 league games this season, 3 or 4 home games. They've actually generated 1.7 expected goals for per home game this season. They've out-created Burnley, Wolves and West Ham when playing as hosts, and Liverpool generally are just clicking, aren't they, in all cylinders, yeah, really, in attack. 2.4 XG is what they're averaging. They are conceding chances, though, 1.3 expected goals against. And I still have that nagging doubt about Liverpool, trusting them away from home. I know the results have picked up. They've had a tough schedule when travelling so far, but they've conceded 1.7 expected goals against per game when travelling. And a bit of the icing on the cake, I guess, they've conceded in 19 of the 24 away games in the league since the start of last season. So generally, when Liverpool travel, they concede.
They do, but they haven't played a team as poor as Luton Town for me. Have they played Sheffield United away from home? And that's bad. Not yet. Both teams to score straight up. No, at plus 107. That's a big number. Liverpool won it for me last week. I know it was at home with a win and a clean sheet. I think that they're vastly improved defensively. And without Robertson in the team, they're actually maybe a little bit better defensively, a little bit more just well-structured. Their center backs have been good. Their midfield's more robust. I just can't see Luton Town scoring in this game. So a little bit of an opposite perspective of you. Both teams have scored no. Full unit play at plus 107. We both shared our best bets of the week. Anything else to add here, Jake?
No, not really. I would just a bit of digging for the midweek stuff. I did find it was quite interesting that Newcastle, their opposing fullbacks have been carded a hell of a lot this season for Newcastle. The opposing right back's been booked in 8 of their 14 games across all competitions this season. Opposing left back, 6 of 14. And both right back and left back in the same game were carded in 3 of 14. So maybe looking at whoever starts for Arsenal at right back or left back, getting them to be carded when the lines come up was something that I was looking for at the weekend. But the prices aren't there yet at the Pinnacle.
Brilliant. Follow along with Jake at Jake Oz on X and myself at Gareth Wheeler, Gareth.Wheeler on Instagram. Go to pinnacle.com. Simon Edwards, our good friend, Copa Libertadores time. It's a final preview. It's located in our betting resources section right now. Boca Juniors against Fluminense. Boca's Valentin Barco and Andre from Fluminense, both heavily linked to a move to Europe this winter. Should be a brilliant game, as they usually are. The Copa Libertadores finals, the preview in the betting resources section of Pinnacle. So that's the week for game week 11. We'll be back for game week 12. One head to head that I'll win this week. Get back into the goods.
You need it.
Closer to the right side of the ledger. But I'll just continue to make my profit week in, week out. Hope that you enjoyed this podcast. Please subscribe. Please like. Please spread the news to your friends. This is the Premier League betting podcast to listen to. On behalf of Jake, I'm Wheels. This has been EPL Insights presented by Pinnacle.